Nell Cook tended house for the new canon of Canterbury Cathedral as best she could, and was rewarded for her diligence and devotion by deceit and gross impropriety. She had not always felt this way, and when the canon gave his first mass in the cathedral, she was suitably impressed by the character of her new employer. The old canon, who mercifully passed away after many years of ill health, was a kind but ineffectual cleric, more concerned with getting his meals on time than spreading the word of the Lord. Now, here before her, was clearly a man of passion, who had directed his considerable energies and charisma in the service of the church. And yet, there was something about the new canon, like the way he would never look her in the eye before he went to visit parishioners who had sought advice in spiritual matters, or his often extreme moodiness and irritability after returning from some of these calls. Nell put this down to his youth and passionate temperament, but she would soon find out the depths of his feelings. The canon was a man who kept odd hours, and it was difficult for Nell to arrange meals at set times. One evening, after watching the stew she had labored over all afternoon grow cold on the dresser, she decided to wait for him to come home so that she could broach the matter forthwith. Late that night, Nell was drifting in and out of sleep in the kitchen when she heard the scuffle of feet and whispered giggling from the drawing room upstairs. She couldn't believe it was the canon. She crept up the stairs to catch a glimpse of the intruders and was sickened to the stomach by the sight that greeted her eyes. The young canon, obviously inebriated, was on the settle being very familiar with a young woman. But the real shock came when the priest's companion turned around, revealing herself as none other than his own niece. Nell could bear the scene no longer, and stole off to her own room to a fitful rest. In the morning, the niece was nowhere to be seen, and the canon seemed in particularly high spirits. His hypocrisy appalled Nell, and she had to take her leave with some feeble excuse about tending to something on the stove. In the kitchen, her sanctuary, Nell brooded over the night's events. She decided to bide her time, as this might be an isolated indiscretion, not uncommon amongst men of the cloth. But deep down she feared the worst, and her instincts was soon borne out. The canon's niece started making more frequent calls on her uncle at his quarters, and their conduct together became more brazen and unforgivable. It was not something Nell could discuss with anyone else, so she resolved to deal with the matter herself. One evening, when she expected the canon's niece for dinner, she expressly made the priest his favorite meal, mutton pie, emptying a bottle of arsenic into the filling, and grimly smiling at the irony of it all. After serving the pie to them, Nell waited by the dining room door, wondering at the effects of her special repast, but nothing happened. After the meal, which seemed to go on forever, the canon congratulated her on an excellent dinner, as usual, and said that he and his niece would retire to the study where she would help him work on tomorrow's sermon. Nell hurried to the kitchen to check that she had used the right bottle when she heard a cry from above, the study. The poison must be doing its mischief, and so Nell took her time responding to the desperate pleas for help. When she reached the room, she found the canon and his niece writhing on the floor in agony, foam the colour of sage forming around their mouths, and their eyes wide with terror and supplication. But Nell simply watched them with a curious detachment, as if none of this was really happening, bade them good night, and retired to bed. Yet her awakening was violent, wresting her from a deep slumber. Upon opening her eyes, she saw a crowd of people in her room, all speaking in agitated tones, and the most vehement amongst them was the man now shaking her roughly by the shoulders. Still drowsy, Nell could not fathom what her assailant was babbling, but when he mentioned the poison, The hairs rose on the back of her neck, and she recalled her actions of the previous night. It all seemed like a dream. Now, fully roused, she attempted to explain, to defend herself, but those gathered in her room were well past listening and only sought vengeance for the slaying of their priest. Nell was dragged from bed and into the streets, where the people who had once been her friends and neighbors turned on her with a viciousness that was breathtaking. Stones caught her in the head and chest, forcing her to her knees, blood pouring freely from a gash on her cheek, and still it rained stones, pounding her into the ground, her arms uselessly hanging by her sides, and then succumbed to the darkness. If only that were the end of it. On regaining consciousness, Nell found herself at the bottom of a deep pit, looking up at her tormentors, some of whom had shovels in their hands. She desperately tried to raise herself, railing against her attackers and accusing the priest of terrible sins, but their response to this blasphemy was a clump of earth that hit her hard in the face, filling her mouth and choking off her appeal. And then the next mound of dirt landed on her, and the next, until her body was covered by damp, cool soil. The last thing she saw through the clod of mud clinging to her cheeks was the poison bottle being thrown into the grave with her. And then the darkness truly closed in. Forever.